here on this morning. God bless you. Amen. I see that we are, there's technical difficulties. You know, one thing, when I first started working down at St. Mary's Hospital, met a lady named Miss Rose. She was working in X-ray. And at the time, the hospital was converting over to a lot of computerized things down at St. Mary's Hospital. And she, being who she is, they had this computerized stuff that they wanted us to start infiltrating into. And she had the old school way of doing it. And that computer stuff didn't work out. And so they didn't know what to do. But see, here on the side, she kept her little, I don't want to call it little side hustle, but she kept her little side notes over here because she know that this works. She knew that this would work and that this would be dependable. But she knew that this wouldn't last because it malfunctioned. So they couldn't find the patient that they need. But see, she went to her little book. And in her little book, she was able to see when the patient was scheduled. But see, in the computer, they couldn't pull it up because it wasn't working. It was getting power, but it was a malfunction. But on this little book she had, she was able to look it up. So this is why I'm glad that God got our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because if there's any type of malfunction, y'all don't want to mess with that. Y'all don't want to mess with that. See, God can look you up in the book. I ain't trying to preach that today. But that just came to mind. Amen. Amen. God can look us up. He got you right there listed. Amen. He ain't got to go to any other means. 2 Timothy. If you have it, can you acknowledge by saying amen? I'm sorry. I'm used to that being up there. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, reading from the King James Version. And we begin reading. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen. To the readers, hearers, and doers of God's word. Jesus says there will be two groups of people in the end times. One group he calls few, the other he calls many. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and done many wonders? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice in lawlessness. Man, that's some powerful words right there. In the last days, there will be lovers of money. Y'all can see that. Boasters, proud, blasphemers. Y'all see that all already. Disobedience to parents. Y'all, you ain't got to look hard for that. Unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 and 4. When Paul describes the last day and condition, he's describing what has already been in this world. What Paul is saying is that that stuff that's in the world is now going to infiltrate into the church. Because it's always been there. These lawless behaviors in the world are going to be common in the household of prayer. This is why the Bible says the Lord is coming back after the church. Because Christians will have a form of godliness but lack the power thereof. Now, of course you all want to know, why do I have this down here, right? Okay, let me go on and get it out of the way so you can get that out of your mind. All right, because otherwise you'd be focusing on this more than you focusing on what I'm trying to really preach to you. Okay? Now, everybody don't like Pepsi. I could have put a bunch of drinks up here, but it's a point that I'm trying to make here. Understood. Understood. Now, how many of you like Pepsi? Okay. Well, you gotta raise your hand. You probably sneak some anyway. Now, everybody knows how Pepsi tastes, right? Okay, so let's see, let's do a little bit of this, right? Alright, how many of you like that? That's a nice little sip for you, right? Okay. Now, let me show you something. Y'all like that, right? Pepsi tastes good. Gives you that little fizz that you're looking for, right? Makes you give you that little potency, right? Okay, here's what I'm going to do. Okay, let's see. Here, do a little bit of this. All right, there we go. I'll water that down a little bit. Now, I'm going to take this, pour a little something in here. All right. Let's see, get a little bit more. All right. Now, guess you want to know what's my point. Okay? If y'all didn't see me do this, y'all would say they both look alike, right? Huh? But there's a difference. Okay, well, if you hadn't been looking, you know it wouldn't have been. Okay? Just stay with me. There's always somebody that's ahead of the class. You know, always got a smart person that's way ahead of you. Stay with the class. I'm trying to teach you something. As Foghorn would say, let me learn you something today. So here's my point, okay? So it looks similar. It looks alike, right? But there's a difference. You see, yes, this got Pepsi in it, but it's diluted, right? This here got Pepsi in it, not diluted. It's got the potency. So where am I going with this? Well, you don't know no better. You say, this tastes good if you've been drinking this your whole time, right? You'll be like, hey, this tastes good. Let me get some more of that. If you know better, you'd be like, yeah, it's got Pepsi in it, but it don't taste the same. It don't taste the same. There's something different about it. And so I can't keep drinking this because this doesn't taste like what I'm used to. Okay? So you're going to dismiss this. You're going to say, I can't continue to function with this because this is just messing me up right here. Now, this over here tastes like the real stuff. So it's what you are accustomed to. It's what you're used to. It's what you like. It's what your body knows. Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's Pepsi. You follow what I'm saying? So here's where I'm going with this morning. Let me just show you something. This is how we do God's word. Looks the same, but it's diluted. Okay? This looks like Pepsi. Look, it's got the bubbles. Got bubbles over here. Even got the little pool of bubbles up at the top. But there's a difference. The difference is this one is a watered-down version. It's not the same. Look the same, but it's not the same. This over here is the real deal. Okay? Not only is it the gospel, but it even tastes like the gospel. Y'all follow me? It tastes like the gospel. There's no dilution in this at all. This is the real stuff. I mean, it gives you what you want. Amen? You understand what I'm saying here? So it's not thinned out by any means. This here is thinned out. Cyrus been blocking you. This been thinned out a lot. But what I'm trying to get you to understand, this is how some preachers and pastors do the word of God. They thin it out to attract people into the church. You follow me? They don't give. That's why I say all scripture is God breathed. Whether you like it or not, is God breathed. God spoke it. I may not like it. It may get me this Sunday. It may get me next Sunday. It may get me until the end of this year. But guess what? When it come back around again, it ain't going to get me. But here we have this here as an illustration of what people like. But see, if people don't know any better, they'll continue to go to that diluted. You understand what I'm saying? They'll continue to go there because they don't know the difference. But see, they never will know the difference until they taste the difference. The only way you're going to know the difference, you got to be able to taste the difference. Because until somebody comes along and say, come here. Taste this. And you taste it, and you're like, hold up. This don't taste like what I've been tasting. No, it don't. It looked the same, don't taste the same. We have to understand, when you dilute something, you are making it thinner. You're lessening the strength. You reduce the value of its efficiency. And basically what you're doing is giving a watered-down version of what you need. It's no different than getting the right medicine in the right dose makes a world of a difference. Am I right? So it is with the gospel. If we don't get the full strength, we could be deceived into thinking we're really healed when we're actually getting worse. See, the devil won't dispute something that is watered down. He ain't gonna dispute that. He's content to let you continue on in the ministry that is giving you a watered-down version of the gospel. He is okay with that. Matter of fact, he can care less if you pack the house and you're giving your tithes. You know one thing that I hate when people say? I hear people say this all the time. I'm not being fed at this ministry that I'm at. And I'm sitting there going like, why are you still there? People say, I'm not being fed at this ministry, at this church that I'm going to. But you're still going there, not being fed. It disturbs me because I'm sitting there trying to understand who would go to a restaurant, pay money to be fed, get me where I'm going with this, and then leave hungry still. Does that make sense? Yes, it do. Yes, it do. Because we do it in the church. It has to make sense. Because we're doing it in the spiritual realm. We are not being fed, so we come constantly. And we sit there, not being fed, spiritual malnourished, but we continue to fellowship and go someplace where we know that it's not being taught We're not being taught the gospel. The time will come, the Bible says, when they would not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itchy ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to fables. Let me say this for the record. It is not okay to go to a restaurant and pay and not eat. It is not okay to go to a church, sit there, and not be fed and leave spiritually lost. Paul said there's a problem in the pulpit. You have preachers who are not sharing the straight gospel. And you have people who don't want a straight message. People do not want to take anything that's hard to swallow. Y'all ever see people, you know, I'm like, well, I can't swallow that pill. I just can't swallow that. You know, they got to do something to get it broke up or whatever. Or no, give me the chewable. Give me the chewable pills, you know, that got a little flavor to it to kind of help me appreciate this pill that I'm taking. People generally want the easy way and the sweet, that's sweet to the senses. They want someone who will give them a prescription for candy-flavored medicine than to take what it really is. You know, I'm more of that person that give me that old school Listerine. I'm talking about that kind that'll burn your mouth. You understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about that brown stuff. I don't want that peppermint type of Listerine, you know. No. I want that brown stuff that my granddaddy used to, you know, have in there. And I mean, that you know is working. You don't want that stuff you have it in your mouth for a long time. That stuff ain't as good as that brown stuff is. That brown stuff you put in there. Man, you trying to get that joke out of your mouth. If you ain't never had it, you don't know what I'm talking about. But here's the reason why the gospel gets watered down. Because preachers want to be popular. And want that fame, that look. One reason we believe the truth is because of the reliable source of God. This is why Christians believe and know the truth, because we know what God's word says. Here's the thing. The scriptures are uniquely tied together. If somebody take one part of the scripture and they're going to fight you with just that one scripture, that's a person, just go somewhere and sit down, because that's not going to work. You can't do that. You can't use that one scripture and expect to fight me just on that one scripture. It ain't gonna work. The scripture prepares your mind, listen to what I'm saying, and heart to see Jesus. That's what it's doing. It's preparing you to see him for who he is and to believe in him. So don't walk away from the writings that brought you to Christ. This brought me to Jesus Christ. I can't walk away from this that brought me to Christ. The scripture says all scripture is God breathed. It's God speaking here. God breathed aims to make us godly, to make us doers of good in this world. The doctrine of the Bibles are designed to produce good deeds, as they do by teaching and reproof, correction, and training. If a pastor is preaching and here's how, let me just start with me. When I wasn't saved, when the pastor was preaching, the word convicted me. Okay? Then the word corrected me. Okay? Then what happened from that is that the word began to do his work inside of me. And then a change came about. So what I'm saying is I didn't stay the same way because I kept hearing the word of God. The purpose of the Bible is to help you live out the purpose God has in your life. It's God's inheritance that is due to you. You know, it doesn't make any sense. Let's just say hypothetically here on earth, your father is a billionaire. You have access to that inheritance. But you can take yourself out of the inheritance. God is saying, you are my children. I'm putting you, you can be in God's will. But you can take yourself out of the will as well. Why would you walk away from something like that? God's word is to correct us. It's to get us back right in fellowship with him. So here's the thing. Timothy, mother and grandmother, taught this young man, instilled in him the word of God. Paul was a spiritual father to Timothy, teaching him. One of the things that Timothy's mother and grandmother said, continue in it and remain in it. In other words, stay in the gospel and remain in the gospel. Jesus saw his own teaching on par with scripture and having authority for God. For example, Jesus said, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his work. Another thing that the apostles claimed to be inspired by God's words, for example, in 1 Corinthians 2nd chapter, verse 13, we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit. Another is that Peter and Paul's letters were part of the authoritative scriptures. For example, 2 Peter 3 and 16. Some twisted his letters as they do the other scriptures. Paul says here about the scriptures with what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and 21. No prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So what Peter emphasizes is that the writers of scriptures were inspired by God. They were inspired by God. You know, that's one of the things that I have people always say to me, you know, especially when a person is not saved, they say, man wrote the Bible. First thing they say to you. But they don't realize, yeah, man wrote the Bible, but he was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That's where they forget. See, I'm going to say this. You know, it would be nice to preach before a large crowd in the church. That's understandable. But that carries risk. Here's what it carries. Many churches are being packed because they are compromising with what the world is wanting them to do. Marketers try to convince you that if you use their product, you will live longer, look better, have more money, be more popular. Y'all ever see marketers try to advertise stuff on TV? They would tell you what this would do to make you be live here longer on earth. No, that ain't gonna work for you. But if you are convinced by that, it will. That's not what God says. But in order to, you know, if you want to populate the church, a lot of people, you know, sometimes they do it by music. Get the people to come in like, man, I like that beat. I like the choir. So people are only coming for the music. They're not coming for the word. We need to understand there's a lot of good news in the good news. A lot of people hear a diluted version of the gospel and believe it's good medicine. They believe that it's what God is speaking to them. It's prosperity. Jesus says we are to be doers of the word. A Christian isn't defined by their church attendance. You're not defined by your church attendance. A Christian is defined by the transformation heart that influenced his actions. The things that I used to do, I don't do it no more. Why? Because I've been born again. I'm not the same as I was. Matter of fact, if I was the same, you wouldn't want to cross paths. And man, you may go the other way. Understand what I'm saying? You got folks that's out there like that. Prime example, Paul. You wouldn't want to cross paths with him if you was a Christian and he wasn't saved yet. Because Paul killed you. So what I'm saying is, that's when you know you changed, is when you have a transforming heart. Because when Paul got saved, Paul needed some help to tell others that he ain't the same no more. Because Peter didn't want to deal with him. They had to say, hold on, Peter, calm down. He ain't the same no more. He's changed. God dealt with him. God spoke to him. You're a changed individual. Sometimes people, it's bad when you have to explain you're a believer. The reason why you have to explain it is because you ain't living it. I tell you, this one lady, she said, I found out that she was a minister, and I looked, I said, I did not know you were a minister. Been knowing her for a good while. And she said, really? I said, yes, really. I couldn't tell because of the way she conducted herself. I mean, literally, I'm not being funny. I'm not trying to make you all laugh. I'm just being real with you. I told her, I said, I had no idea that you was a minister. And it kind of messed her up because she had to check herself because she knew who I was. But I couldn't identify who she was. My point is, you don't have to go around toting the Bible. You don't have to go around saying who you are. People would know. I was with my wife at SWCC and walked into the bookstore, and immediately this guy did a beeline to me, and my fist kind of clenched up because I didn't know how he was going to come at me. But the guy just came straight at me. And I was like, hold up, man, you're just coming up at me that aggressive. He said, I know you're a child of God. I just walked in a bookstore with my wife. I wasn't trying to tell somebody that I was a Christian. I wasn't trying to, you know, go around doing this and doing all this stuff. I wasn't doing that. I just walked into the bookstore. Gentleman walked up to me, said, I know you're a child of God. They can identify you by your actions. You don't need to say anything. Your lifestyle will let them know. People in my neighborhood already know who I am. They already know what I stand for. On my job, they know what I stand for. I ain't gonna put up with that. When they wanna do this certain stuff, they know not to include me. Because I don't wanna be bothered with it. They wanna do happy hour. Ronnie, we know you don't wanna go, but we just gonna invite you anyway. Then you're right, I don't wanna go. But thanks for asking me. Sometimes churches are measured by the number of people they have in a congregation. That's not church growth. Church growth is how you look at the person's heart to see if there's any transformation. You can have 30 devils in the church or 100 devils in the church. Is there any transformation?
People have to be changed. You can have, this church can be packed where every seat can be occupied. But let me tell you something. If you haven't changed your heart, you're still the same. God wants a change of heart. See, baptism represents a new beginning. That old man is buried. That new one comes up. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. It doesn't mean you're instantly perfect, but it means that you're not the same anymore. So how do you know you're not getting the diluted gospel? That's why I give scripture, so you can reference it. That's why it's up here, so you can take notes and write it down, so you can go back and look at it, and then you can see if the preacher is lying. If the preacher is telling the truth. You know, there's people that I work with, and I said some things to them, and the first thing they said to me, is that in the Bible? And I said to them, I said, yes, it is. And they say to me, it's like, wow, I didn't know that. I'm like, don't you read? Well, we were told we can't read. How are you going to learn if you're not going to read? School would teach you that. If you go to public schools or any school, private, public, whatever, homeschool, you have to read to get an understanding. The people didn't know what was in there. I said, oh, my people. I said, these people are lost. They don't have a clue. There are a lot of people out there, preachers out there, that are wolves, that are preying on God's people. You know, I was watching something, and I can't remember if it was sent to me or if I just happened to come up on it, but T.I. was in church. He went to church, and he came in late. T.I., he was real. He came in late. And I think it was New Birth he went to, down there with Jamal Bryant. Yeah. So he went there, and T.I. is T.I. Came in with his hood on and everything. And so y'all know T.I. got money. Okay? He ain't broke. So he came in late, but they let him sit where the rich people sit, people that give money. And he had a problem with that. He like, here it is, he came late. And then they want to put him down front. So he was like, I come in late. Sir, back here. Put me way back there. But him, they put him down front. Here's my point. This man, in church, there was a guy, a gentleman that was up there speaking. And this man saw all these rich people on this front row. So this preacher starts saying, I need $1,000, 20 people. Y'all should have saw the look on T.I.'s face. He was so mad, and T.I. was real. He said, look here, he said, his man shouldn't have said that. He said, number one, he said, I had that, because it was all over social media. And he said, the reason why the look was on my face, he said, man, I saw the con coming before the con came. Now, that's a street guy. He said, if you're going to con me, don't let me see it coming, man. I like how he talk. He got that southern talk. That southern talk, man, he got a cool talk. He said, don't let me see it coming, man. I can't do it. But he was talking, and he said, I saw the con coming before it came. He said, that's why my face was the way it was. He said, at least surprise me, but you let me see it coming before it even came, man. He was upset. He said, it should not have been. My point is, you have these preachers that are preying on innocent people and praying on the church, and people are giving. You have some preachers in church that are saying, this is going to be my $100 line. Over here is going to be my $50 line. Over here, y'all seen that before? Over here is going to be my $20 line, and everybody else, you're going to get over there. That's what they do. And then when they collected, I had one pastor, he said, I'm short. He said, I'm short. I need at least 20 more dollars. I mean, I need at least that. He had people, I looked at that man, and he said, don't let nobody out. I looked at that usher, and I looked at that man, and I looked back at that usher, and he said, don't let nobody out until I get what I need. That's holding people hostage. That's against the law. That's against the sinful law. My point is, the church is filled with preachers that are wolves, preying on innocent people. See, when the first pastors came, they said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. They didn't say, oh, all you got to do, touch three or four people and you'll be blessed. Go touch your neighbor. Look at your neighbor. Turn to your neighbor. I dare you to go run around the church four times. They didn't say that. They said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. What was at hand? Your soul salvation. And then they said, let everybody be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what they came preaching. Many Christians have their faith shipwrecked because they were given false information. You're going to have a great ministry. Y'all ever had somebody say something like this to you? You're gonna get a new car. You're gonna get this house. You're gonna get this six-figure job. All of this stuff they're saying to you. And then what happens if it don't happen the way that you want it to happen? Now all of a sudden you're discouraged, right? You're upset, right? Because now those words that were spoken to you has not come to pass. Let me say this to you. Let the word of God come from the scripture. If you're going to tell me I'm doing wrong, show me in the scripture. God's word, my grandfather taught me something. He said there's enough in this Bible to this present day to let you know how you living, to let you know if you are lining up with God's word. So if somebody come and tell you that you're not living right, then show me in a Bible, in the word of God, where I'm not living right. Show me where I'm not preaching God's word. Don't just let somebody come and just say something to you and you go off and just believe in that. Let me say this. It is the responsibility of every believer to be sure you are sitting under the teaching of the good shepherd, one who preaches the whole gospel, uncompromised, preaching the word of God. It is your responsibility. If you know people that are at other ministries that are not being fed, it is their responsibility to leave that ministry and go and find a ministry where they are being fed. Would you send your children? No, you will not. Let me answer this for you. Will you send your child to a school district that is not teaching? If you do that, you are setting your child up for failure. Because if you send your child to a school district, I hear parents all the time, I want to send them to the best school. I want them to have this education. That's good. But you ought to say, I want to send them to a church that is teaching God's word. If you can say that about a school district, you ought to be able to say that about God's word. I don't care how many people they may have at a church. If it's not preaching God's word, you shouldn't even be going there. So what? So what if your great-grandmama went there? So what if your granddaddy went there? So what if your family has a history there? It doesn't matter. If they wasn't teaching in, then you shouldn't be going. Jesus told his disciples, he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Fishermen attract fish with bait. And some churches use music to draw people to come in. See, our society has become so secularized today. Some churches feel like they have to adapt to the culture, but by doing so, they are shying away from the message that the gospel is, as though they are ashamed to talk about Jesus who died on a cross. They don't want to say that. That's not a curse word. All they want to do is talk about him being a baby in a manger. They don't want to talk about the fact that he died for our sins so that we can have life, life more abundantly. See, the message of the cross is foolish to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of the gospel. Our society is exposed to so much ungodliness and iniquity that it's hard for people to hear the word of God. People nowadays are to the point where they see preachers in this. That's why I'm gonna tell you something. Reality TV. Preachers should have never got on there. Preachers should have never got on there. It's hard enough to get people to come to church, but now you wanna get on reality TV and act a fool. You know how hard it is to get people to come, but yet here it is, you got this mega ministry, but you are on TV where all eyes are on you and you're acting a plumb fool. There should be some type of integrity about yourself. And now you got people saying, man, that guy ain't no better than me. Why should I come to church? He acting a fool. He think he's going to heaven. I'm going to heaven too. You're deceiving folks. Let me tell you something. When you are put on a platform and when someone asks you, a news reporter asks you a question about a certain touchy subject, it is your responsibility as a preacher of the gospel to stick it to the devil. That is not a time for you to shy away from the word of God. And that is a time for people who are preachers, who are born again believers. If somebody, you know how the reporters don't want to hear about Jesus' name, you ought to keep saying it. Romans chapter 1 and 16 said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jews first and also to the Greek, even to the person who is interviewing you. It's for them as well. Paul said, I'm not ashamed. Every true believer knows it is a serious thing to be ashamed of our Savior. Luke chapter 9 and 26 says, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. That's what God is saying about the situation. And just in case you didn't hear me, it said it in Mark chapter 8, verse 38. For whoever is ashamed of me, repeat it again, and my words, and this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in glory of his Father with the holy angels. It was repeated again, just in case you read too fast. Now, question is, at this time, was Paul being tempted to be ashamed? Probably. You got a lot of stuff going on in the world. The first reason why we should not be ashamed of the gospel is the meaning of the word gospel itself. It means good news. It is good news about what God has done for us in his Son, Jesus Christ. The second reason why we should not be ashamed of the gospel is that it is about salvation, meaning that God has intervened to rescue us through the work of his divine Son, Jesus Christ. He reconciled us to himself, bearing our sins in his own body on the cross. The third reason why Paul was not ashamed of the gospel is because it is powerful. It is important for us to understand that the means by which God accomplishes salvation in those who are being saved. The fourth reason why Paul was not ashamed is the gospel is that it is the gospel for everyone who believes. Because the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. In other words, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. When it seems to be popular and when it seems unpopular, when it is seasonable and when it is unseasonable, preach God's word. It doesn't matter when you preach it. Just preach God's word. See, there's things in our culture that we're accustomed to. We're accustomed to seasons. See, right now, the Cardinals are out of season. Their season is over. They got to wait till next season to play ball. And see, that's the problem with that. That's seasonal. But see, God's word is not like that. It says preach it in season and out of season. What is it saying? I don't care if it's a popular message. Preach it in season. Preach it out of season. Regardless of what it's saying, God is saying, preach my word. See, God got to a point where he had to tell Paul. He said, you need to talk to Timothy. See, Timothy is struggling a little bit. See, Paul was about to depart this earth. He was about to leave. So he had to preach to his young son, Timothy, in the gospel. He had to tell him, he said, Timothy, come on now. I'm going to need you to stir up the gift that's inside of you. God did not give us the spirit of fear, Timothy. Timothy, I need you to preach the gospel now. Come on, man, preach in season, out of season, regardless of if them folks don't want to hear it. I don't care if it's not a prosperity message, Timothy. Preach God's word. Well, what if they don't like you, Paul? Preach, Timothy. Preach. What if I don't have anything prosperous to tell them? Timothy, preach God's word. But Paul, hold up now. I know you're about to leave this earth. I know you're in prison, Paul. But Paul, I need you to help me here. But I'm not the most favorable preacher in the town right now. Preach, Timothy. Preach God's word. Don't stop preaching, Timothy. Even though people don't want to receive it. Timothy, I need you to preach. I was stoned, Timothy. I was shipwrecked, Timothy, for the preaching of the gospel. I was left for dead, but I kept preaching. So I'm telling you, stir up the gift that's inside of you and preach God's word. Timothy was struggling. As a young pastor, young minister in the gospel, he was struggling. He was dealing with the world changing. He was dealing with the church not wanting to hear God's word. He was dealing with all kind of issues, all kind of things. But he said, remember your grandmother. Remember your mother. They taught you. Stay in it. Stay on it. Don't let nobody remove you from the gospel. Keep preaching God's word. Telling him to be strong in the Lord. Be of good courage. Because God is going to be with you, Timothy. Even if I'm not going to be here, Paul was letting him know, preach God's word. No matter what time it is, no matter what season it is, God's word is never out of season. We are the salt of the earth. And if the salt has lost its... We should not lose our potency. We got to still have that kick in us. We got to still have that fire in us. That's why I was telling Timothy, stir it up. We got to stir it up. Don't let the fire go out on you. Don't let the world clench that fire that's inside of you. I don't care the laws that they're passing. I don't care if your friends don't want to get saved. I don't care if the people on your job is acting a fool. Just know who holds your future. It ain't your job. Even if you got a 401k, it ain't your job. It is God that's got you. Y'all ever notice something? When we come into this world, we're full of energy. If I ask my children to do something, they'll go run to it. And then they'll run coming back. You have to tell them, stop running in the house. They're full of energy when they're born, when they're young. What God is basically doing is saying, for this world, you're going to need a lot of energy. You're going to need a lot of stamina. And see, what he's doing is he's getting us ready to live in this atmosphere. But then you notice when you start aging, start getting a little tired. You don't run and do anything. If anything, you're going to take you a few minutes to get there. But my point is, what I'm trying to say is that your body is telling you that you're getting ready for a transition from this life into the next life, where you're going to get that glorified body and you don't have to worry about any more aches and pains. And I can just see us all now when we get there. Look at me. I got a new arm. I got a new leg. It ain't nobody else's but mine. I'm feeling fine. I'm feeling good. Woo! Preach the word all times, whether it's well received or not. Whether it's popular or unpopular, whether it brings you accolades or not, we have been commanded to preach God's word in season and out of season. Amen.